Nothing to say. I'll wait.
Approval of minutes for the May 3rd meeting?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Resolution to approve the authorizing Brookside Care Center to participate in the Leading Choice Network. Do I have a motion?
Sorry. It's got me all choked up.
Do I have a motion?
Can we hear about it?
You can speak on it?
Sure, I will. I mean, if you'd like to, otherwise you can just vote it through and then I'll buy my grandson a birthday present. Leading Choice is a part of Leading Age Wisconsin, which is the association that not-for-profit and government nursing homes in the state belong to. It's our main resource. And members are surveyed every year. There's hundreds of them. And they are asked what is concerning you the most in the world of everything. And one of their concerns was not being able to have a voice in getting contracts from different providers, knowing that the way managed care is going, that if you're part of a network, you receive, first treatment and first consideration. So Leading Age responded by forming a network called Leading Choice. It was just formed. They're just signing members up. They're hoping to have the first round of memberships signed up by July 1. And because we're government, we have to bring this resolution to the, to the body of county board and committees. So we're going to be a little late in getting this signed up, but the advantages for us is that managed care prefers dealing with providers that are in a network. The network is going to have restrictions that you have to be a high-quality provider. Managed care folks prefer that, so they don't have to do all their own research. And we will have quality outcomes that all of the providers have to meet. It really helps in, it gives us a broad range of collecting and analyzing clinical and financial data, billing data, things like that, as a group. It would make all contracts that the network signs and negotiates available to all members. A lot of our members have, including we, have had trouble getting contracts because the entity of the insurance companies feels they have enough contracts and don't want to, even though the person next door has a contract with X insurance company, they don't want to come next door to that because they feel they have enough. So this would open up all the contracts available that they are signed up for. They also would assist in negotiating those contracts, for better rates and carve-outs. A lot of patients we take have expensive drugs that if we wanted to get the insurance company to say, okay, well, I'll give you $100 extra for that expensive drug, we have to do that all on our own. It's a lot of staff time and a lot of resources used, and frequently we say no. But these people are skilled contract negotiators who would be able to negotiate those carve-outs that are important for our members. We'd be able to access educational offerings that as far as on care management, care coordination, quality improvement, billing, and we feel it's a very good thing for us to do. Leading Age Wisconsin was hoping to get initially 40 members sign on to the Leading Choice, and I think they're pushing 100 of them. So there will be a limit at one point of how many they probably can accept before they close the network. So I would like to make sure we get in on that first round. And so I would ask that you approve this resolution.
through the chair, Mike. Everything sounds good. Is there any cost involved with this?
Yes, there's a per bed charge, and we've had the money put in our budget. For us, it's about $50 and some cents, so it would be about $10,000. That's for the first year. And we don't know the cost for next year, because it all depended on how many members are going to get signed up. And there is Leading Choice will be a for-profit organization, and if it was highly successful, they could turn money back and reward its members. But again, we're in our infancy stage, and so.
Can you just clarify a couple things? We're joining this network. Are we becoming part of the network then? The Brookside will be a facility of this network?
Correct.
Okay. And we need this just go through it again. What do we get out of this again?
The network itself, there will be an executive director and a staff who will, there will be a clinical quality that managed care, I'll say Humana, United, Blue Cross Blue Shield, companies like that, rather than dealing with just Brookside to get a contract, they prefer dealing with a network of known quality, high quality providers, and that's only the providers who will be allowed in this network, because then they don't
have providers,
nursing homes. Nursing homes and assisted livings.
Okay.
Like what we are.
I know that, but I understand. Okay, but we don't have occupancy issues, right? We don't.
Right now, we don't, but
I guess
highest occupied, but we want to always be making sure that we remain that way. There's a lot of changes coming down, as far as like the bundle payments and
from
Medicare, like joint replacement bundle payments. They prefer working with a network.
Medicare?
The insurance companies that deal with Medicare.
Okay, but I thought about a third of our book was private pay, the rest was Medicare, and we want mostly Medicaid in Brookside, right?
Well,
okay. I thought private pay broke even, Medicaid covered it, and other way around. Medicare didn't pay for itself, Medicaid care does, private pay was about even. I'm sorry, Medicaid is a loser, right? Okay. So you're saying we have to discount the Medicare side to get into this network?
No, it's not. There's no discounts involved. It's negotiating, the contracts that you have with people like Humana, United, Blue Cross Blue Shield, AARP, you can just go on and on, all the insurance companies. They all have their own rates, and they all negotiate their own rates depending on...
But for what? Medicare reimbursement rates are set
No. Mm-hmm. Medicare Part A is set, but many retirees are now going into retirement and they're selecting a Medicare Advantage plan.
Okay.
And those plans are negotiable.
Okay.
So.
How much is the... Okay, that clarifies it. You're talking about the Medicare Advantage and Medicare Sub plan. We want to be part of this network for those carriers that provide those coverages. Okay, so this affects approximately a quarter or a third of our population.
It's actually, we're finding that our Medicare A business, which consists of straight Medicare A, and then we have the Advantage plans like Humana and some United. Right. There's all sorts of Advantage plans. And they're becoming more and more frequent. We're finding right now, our census today, we have more Advantage plans and commercial commercial insurance that people are getting rehabbed under their spouse's insurance. Then we had Medicare A. So it's becoming more and more prevalent.
I was under the impression that this network was for expenses that, you know, to like buy software and stuff like that, or supplies to get breaks on that. Is that incorrect?
Yes.
Okay, so this is on the income side that we're talking about.
I can't say that going down the road they might not, you know, get into the expenses as far as, for instance, negotiating with providers like therapy companies or pharmacy companies, which is where most of our expense comes from on the Medicare side, to say, okay, I have a group of X amount of providers who would like to do your therapy, use your therapy company, what rate will you give us? And again, that's another advantage to us, because they would get a big book of business, you know, for a rate that would be more beneficial to us. But the initial launch of this product is to, you know, form the network related to the revenues and the quality, clinical measures, quality outcomes. When you contract with someone, and we go to Laverne's insurance company, Laverne's going to want to contract with the provider who's going to give the best care and the best outcome, have the patient stay in the nursing home the least amount of days, because ultimately it costs that insurance company less money. So when that insurance company is looking for someone to contract with, they're going to look at the network saying, oh, we already know that these guys are high quality, because that's the only way you can get in.
Friend, to the chair, the better care and those parts of this sound good, but I feel that it's necessary that I have to ask you that, how long do you think it will be before we recoup the investment, or maybe say we spend $10,000 before they're going to save us that amount or more? Would it be the first year? Or are you looking down the road, or, you know?
I have absolutely no idea how long it would be. It would depend on, you know, how fast they get the contracts signed, which contracts. You know, a lot of providers are geographic. Like, there's an insurance company different in the Mississippi Valley than there is in Appleton and things like that. So I could not venture a guess. And this contract goes year to year. So we would, you know, if of course if we're not getting the results that we need and want, then we would renew it.
What ends up getting to this?
We're sitting outside looking in, and people who, you know, that we would not be part of the network, so if we wanted to, they wouldn't ask us to play in the game because we're not part of the network, certain insurance companies. They would try and steer people toward providers who are in the network, which they already do now. We're a preferred provider for Humana, so they try to steer people to Brookside because of that. And we wouldn't want to miss out on that business.
I understand. I'm just trying to get my hands, and I understand everything you're saying. I'm just getting my hands around the fact that
So you're just saying it would keep our bids, more of our bids full.
Yes, we're hoping that it'll become full and with, you know, more of a premium payer source, and also resources to help. You know, there's some places that have clinical practices, maybe, hard to believe, better than ours. And we could borrow and you know, learn from them, and also, you know, share it with the other nursing facilities. And assisted living is included in it too, which is a new line of business that's going to be for us, so that would help us too.
Understand basically this, the insurance companies, Brookside would be listed with all these insurance companies as a provider.
In Cares Network.
So instead of having to come to you and negotiate, they go to now Brookside Care. Mm-hmm. My patient wants to go there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Being in this network, with people providing the services having the same service one at all? So,
no. Other than the fact that they have an expectation of quality.
Just one last thing. If this costs us $10,000 a year, what's your business?
Something like that. There's, you know, some cents involved in the calculation. Okay. And that depends on our census or beds.
Okay. But, you know, I'm saying that dollar amount has no effect on the outcomes. They're going to evaluate us. Let's say they say, you have made all the parameters.
We have made all the parameters already.
And you would say that to them, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're not giving them a discounted rate for that. I'm still trying to, I'm comparing this to other managed care networks, usually your PPO networks, your HMO networks, that go to a discounted fee structure for that to be in their network, because they have to be. If you're with Humana, if you're a Humana hospital or network, or if you're United Healthcare network, or Blue Cross Blue Shield or Anthem of Wisconsin, you give them way bigger discounts than others. So there's where I'm trying to think. If we're already got all the parameters, if we are that good, why wouldn't they recommend us anyway? If I was a patient wanting to go to Brookside, and my Medicare sub plans, people said, we want to put you at a very good place, and Brookside is one of them, usually they do that because, oh, by the way, we get about X amount less. We will save, thus you will save in premiums, because we have a fee structure set with them. Well, that doesn't exist here, so I'm just saying, I guess I'm just trying to just totally grasp.
Because they're forming a network of only providers who have been proven to provide excellent care and have great outcomes, again, the expectation is, if you go with this network and you go to a facility in the network, that the insurance company is banking on, they will have less negative outcomes, clinical things like bed sores and things like that that cost money, and that they would have the quality of care so that the person would stay less days.
I understand all of what you say.
Okay,
but they're basically coming in and telling us, for you to be in this network, we want $10,000, and that's it. And we're saying, thank you, we need that. But if we said no to them, what are they going to say? Oh, by the way, we're not going to recommend you?
No, then they wouldn't have anything to do with us. I mean, we wouldn't be in the network. So,
right.
We're not a member of the network if we say no. So,
I'm not. I'm sorry, I'm belaboring this, but I'm just trying to. If we weren't in this network, how our life would change? And I'm not thinking it would.
The point you brought up, they can't come in and say, "Well, Humana wants to put this patient in your facility. We want a 10% discount."
Yeah, we're not giving them that.
We're not doing any of that, right? Our service is what we charge is what we charge.
That's what you're saying.
That's not true. For instance, we have a contract with an insurance provider that is $405 a day. And I personally tried to negotiate a higher rate with my team recently. And they said, you have the highest rate that there is around here. So, no. So, the benefit of the network is that they have person who would negotiate those rates on our behalf, and because they have so much more clinical data, so much more documentation and data to say why this network is who you should go with. They have more leverage in negotiating favorable terms and contracts.
All right, then that you didn't say that before. That is, there it is. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I've been thinking this through, and I'm going to have to say that, you know, with the expenses that are going into there and the expansion and getting into the managed care, I think maybe this is something that we ought to go ahead and go with to make sure that we put our best foot forward starting out. So I'm going to support it.
It's a one-year deal. If it's not working, we don't have to sign next year.
Well, we might get a discount this first year because, you know, we're under construction, so the number of beds will be smaller, correct?
Not really, because our beds are going to stay the same. You know, we're going to have 154 skilled beds.
Oh, that's right. You're going to put something together. That's right.
Yeah, we're reconfiguring.
Just a quick question, numbers question, I guess. Is somebody going to be looking at, so it costs, you just negotiated per, currently have 405 for a bed right now, right? Today, you said?
For one contract, we have.
Right? So going forward, if this goes through, are we going to then start keeping a tab on, okay, well, we're now in this network, so now we're getting 450 or 505, and are we going to see that number?
If you'd ask for, you can see it, but we keep very close tab on every single Medicare and Medicaid or Medicare Advantage client we have. And we have a spreadsheet on every single payment we get.
Any discussion? Do I have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much for your support. Excuse me, I'm going to. Yeah, I'm only about a week late. But have a good evening.
Thank you. Resolution to approve the county executive appointment of Dr. Muriel Maritato. How do I do? To the Kenosha County Board of Health.
Other than what's in the packet, I don't have any additional information.
Any questions, discussion? All those, do I have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All against? Motion carries. Resolution to approve county executive.
Got John O'Day on.
Yeah, I saw that
too. No John Poole. So I just cross out like K then?
Yeah.
What's the second? Was that on the original?
Yeah.
Those are just.
It's on the one I got that you gave me. John O'Day.
I just
crossed out O'Day and wrote Poole.
No, right here.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm saying it all at once.
Yeah, right there.
Oh. Well, this came from. Francis from.
So it's already just a change this one?
Yeah, go ahead, change it, yeah. Because the original is from Brookside, so that's. You have the originals. Those are all copies.
Oh, okay.
You have the originals. So you need to have to change it on that one.
Did we approve that,
Dr. Maritato?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Resolution to approve county executive appointment of Dr. Brian Wolf to Kenosha County Workforce with the Development Board. Any
to approve.
I don't have any additional information.
Motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Who's the second one?
Me.
Okay.
Okay, the presentation of the KHDA DS Mental Health Services. Welcome, Byron.
Thank you. I'm Byron Wright, Executive Director of Connection with Development Services. This is Jim Field, who's our Associate Director, and we really kind of wanted to talk about two things. One is we're very happy to have you here at Bridges tonight. This is the community center for people with severe and persistent mental illness. It is a drop-in center. About
10 years ago now?
Pretty close. Bridges is its own corporation. And it was, quite honestly, falling apart because it was tiny. And the problem with being a little 501c3 is you have to meet all of the things that any other 501c3 does. Payroll and insurance and
audits.
And so we kind of took them under our wing. And so we are the administrative arm for the Peer Recovery Center. And so what we do is make sure that there are people who work here who are hired through Connection Human Development Services. And I'm going to let Janine Field talk about it because Janine Field is the reason that Bridges runs so smoothly, because she keeps things organized. And to give you an idea, when we came in here about 10 years ago, this room was essentially a garage. So it was a very, you could look out right through there and see the outside.
Have you had a chance to tour?
And so we would like for you to tour at some point, maybe just walk around a little. But I'll let Janine know what you prefer to, for Janine to talk first a little bit about Bridges. It's your pleasure.
Well, as Byron said, we've been doing this about 10 years, and Byron and I have both been working hard to make sure that this is continually staffed. I act as the kind of pseudo-director, but the people I hire are consumers as well. And so I supervise and I support them, but they do the work here. And anybody who's working here is in their own recovery from a severe persistent mental illness. They're doing fairly well. Everybody has their cycle, but for the most part, doing fairly well. And they run the day-to-day business here. And then as we always talk about, it's a consumer-run, consumer-led, the employees then look down and help the consumers reach their recovery plans. One of the things we started doing this past year was we changed a little bit on how you become an actual member of Bridges Community Center. It was, when you walked in the door, you were a member. And that's still true. When you walk in the door, you have the opportunity for membership, and it can take a long time to become an actual member. But now we have more expectation of you. Sent like, you complete a wellness action recovery plan with us, meaning that you're going to tell us what works for you, what your strengths are, where you're going, what your plan is. And you're also going to help us understand when things aren't going well for you, what is that going to look like? And what do you want us to do to help you with that? Which is much easier to plan when you're doing well than it is when you're not doing well. And so when somebody stops taking their medication and they start having some psychotic episodes, we'll see that and we'll notice it. We go back to their plan and we just do, this is what they told us to do. They wanted us to call their mom, and they wanted us to call their psychiatrist, but they didn't want us to call their brother. So that's what we'll do. And so that really cuts off a lot of crisis that can occur, because we see people every day. We know what's normal behavior for folks and what's not. Every day here is a different schedule. One of the things that Byron passed out is a monthly schedule of groups. Each one of these groups is peer run. So we have facilitators for each one of these groups who is a peer here, somebody who is you have to be a part of the facilitator group. So you learn how to run a group efficiently, how to make sure that everybody has equal time, how to manage behaviors within the group. But we do things like bipolar support group and education. The NAMI Connections group meets here. We have Emotions Anonymous group, which is really helps people understand how to get their emotions under control. We do anger management groups. We have just a women's group and then just a men's group, which are very popular because you're able to really deal with some of the issues that you can't deal with as a whole here when you're in a gender-specific group. So those are very popular groups. We open at 8:30. Our groups start at 9. Our groups are pretty well attended for report in front of you. Our average daily attendance for, this is for 2015, was 41 people walk through the door each day. So 41 individuals walk through the door. Over the course of a month, our average was 175 different people walk through the door each month. So one person might come only one day, because the group that they want to come to is, that's the group that they come to today. And so the second Tuesday of each month is the only day they come. But then I've got people who are here every single day. And when they don't show up, we call. Where are you today? Because we're concerned. We serve lunch every day. We serve hot lunch twice a week, and like a bag lunch or a sandwich and chips, something like that, three times a week. We don't want lunch to be why people come. We want people to stay through the afternoon. So it's a kind of a delicate balance to make sure that lunch isn't the reason they come. Although we do serve a fairly high homeless population, but we serve the homeless population that also has severe and persistent mental illness. And so they come here each day, they do go to groups, we make sure that as a part of their new membership package, they do have to go to groups. You have to have an attendance to some sort of groups throughout the month. We looked at, through this, you can also see the group titles that we had. And when you turn over to the back page, it just gives you some breakdowns of the type of folks that we have coming here, male, female, more males than females. I'm always very curious about why that is. I'm not sure if that's the nature of mental health and who's out there and who needs resources and who doesn't. And then you look at the bottom, and these are self-diagnoses, and as a consumer can always choose more than one. But when you look at the type of disorders that people are telling us they have when they come here, these are some pretty significant issues that folks are dealing with. Not all of our people are in programming and long-term care, in community support program or in CCS. In fact, a lot of our consumers are not in long-term care. And so this is a nice, safe place for our staff. What we talk about every day is, are we safe? Are we clean? Are we a place that people want to come to? We've done a lot of work here within the facility in the last year, put in the floor, we've painted, we've fixed up the back room. But we've been able to make this a really pleasant, nice place for people to come to. And I really think, when the health study came in and they interviewed consumers, a number of the consumers said, this is the reason why I'm not in the hospital. It's because I can come to Bridges every day. And since we've taken over, we haven't closed a day because we didn't have somebody to work. We have not been closed for a day because circumstances were out of control. Before we took over, there were many days that the door was locked because there wasn't anybody to work. There was just too much going on somewhere else. So for the last 10 years, we've been pretty much a very stable piece of the mental health system in the community. So, and we participate in a lot of community events. We did the beach cleanup this year. We'll plant a tree for Arbor Day. We try to be as gracious around the neighborhood as we can be, so that folks, it's a little hard sometimes. We get pointed at quite a bit when things aren't going well on the block. But very rarely is it us. Our folks do pretty well, and they know the importance of being able to be here, and so they pay attention to kind of the parameters that we've set for folks. So, any questions or concerns? Yes,
myself and Supervisor Gable took the tours right here about 5-6 weeks ago. I was really impressed the way they cleaned it all up, and everything that I heard. A couple of things that come to my mind is, the first thing I'd like to, I wish there's a way we could put a number on these people that we're helping. I would strongly believe that we're keeping some of these people out of a much more expensive mental health facility.
Well, certainly.
And saving us a lot of money. Now, I suspect that. I don't know if we can prove that, but that's a good thing. The bad thing is that, if we got some young lady or young man, old man, working during the day, you're not open on Saturday.
That's correct.
I think it would be a real advantage to be able to have this place open on Saturday for those people that work during the day and still need help. just wanted to mention that because I do think it pays for itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's something that we should, that personally I support, and I hope we can improve it. Thank you.
Like I say, I was here 4 years ago, and this ain't even close to the same place. I mean, well, we were here, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. The back roof. You know, total different one. I mean, yeah, I mean, this is some place for these people to go. I mean,
the work in the back, the consumers didn't. They were sick and tired of that, the wall looking the way it was, and so they asked if they could, and I got my maintenance guy to help them get all the materials they needed, and on a Saturday and on a Sunday, they came in and they fixed it. And I was, you know, one of the workers sent me pictures on a Saturday afternoon, and I'm like, oh my God, they're really doing this. And that's what they wanted to do, okay, go do that, this is your place.
Yes. And it's busy. We were here, what, 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Are various people recommended from others to come here, or how does that work?
We're very word of mouth. We do some outreach. We have a staff person who goes up to the hospital and does outreach up there, along with NAMI and Racine. We don't have a lot of people in Kenosha going to St. Luke's anymore, so there's not that many people we can grab in. Obviously, we work with the Community Support Program and the Comprehensive Community Services Program, so they steer people here. When I sit and talk to people, what they tell me is their therapists tell them to come here. Their psychiatrists are telling them to come here. Their PO agents are telling them to come here. I had a gentleman come in today who said, my PO said I had to be here. Well, nobody has to be here, but if you want to come in, you're more than welcome. And so he sat, and by the end of the day, he was like, well, this is okay. I think I'll come back tomorrow. And so tomorrow we'll try to hook him up and see what it is we can do for him. So we try to do as much. We're not really out there trying to sell it too much because there's just so much capacity. And when you get, I mean, we've had days where we've had 65 people here for lunch. You know, they're out the door and around the corner waiting to get lunch here. And so we're doing well. We've got lots of people in. I think we are making a difference. And I think, you know, to your point, I think even extending hours, 2:30 is early. But it's really all we can afford, really, with staff time right now. And Saturdays would be lovely. Saturdays, I think, would help a number of people.
Also, do you have any, do you keep data of people that don't need to come back, type of thing, or not?
We have data. We certainly do keep data. Everybody who comes in has to sign in, and I have one employee whose that's their job is to put it into our database. I can pull reports of how many people, you know, are there on a certain day, how many people attended certain groups, how many people came to lunch, and then I can see who's fallen off, and you know, we can run a report of who haven't we seen in the last 4 days. And again, why have one of my workers then called them, or we'll have people stop by, you know, if it's somebody that we know real well and we know where they live, and we both go by, and you know, a couple of them after 2:30 we'll stop by their house and just check in and see how they're doing.
Some people get employment and do other things, and we have certainly over 10 years, I mean, I can just think in my head of people I've seen at the height of a severe and persistent mental illness who were coming to Bridges who now are doing very well and doing other things. There are some people who are always going to come here just because of the support and the community. And the other thing is no, the one thing I've learned more than anything else from working with Bridges over the years and watching people with severe and persistent mental illness come into our office is the amount of stigma that's involved. You know, people are scared of people who are mentally ill. They, I watch sometimes they talk louder to them. I'm like, they can hear fine. But, you know, there's an enormous stigma to mental illness, and when you're at Bridges, that stigma doesn't exist because the staff are people who understand mental illness. But, I mean, we've just seen, I've seen people who came through the care center who were literally almost catatonic, who ended up working and going on to work in the community. So you really do, we see a lot of people over the years. And it's always amazing that the other side is that the kind of downside sometimes of Bridges is severe and persistent mental illness is hard on people. And we've had a fair amount of consumers die over the years. because a lot of times they're co-occurring substance disorders. The drugs that you take for mental illness, a lot of times are pretty debilitating. And so, you know, you lose some of your older members here. So, but it's a place that, in looking back, I don't know how we did without it. And the thing is what I always say is when you open up anything like this, as far as consumers, people vote with their feet. Mm-hmm. If it's no good, nobody's coming. Because you don't have to come here. And so people come because they want to be here. And that's what we want. And we want them to go to the groups. We want them to have lunch, and we want them to have people to talk to.
So I got a few questions. Bear with me. Excuse my ignorance. Funding. Where is it coming from?
Kenosha County funds at about $90,000 a year.
And that's how much on a percentage?
That's about 80.
Okay.
80 to 90. The National Alliance on Mental Illness gives us some money. They have an office up here, and then they've given us other money over the years. We provided for years the administrative support just kind of as part of our agency without an external charge there. The other thing is Bridges right now, and it's kind of interesting. Bridges, there was a woman who met Steve Relish years ago when this first opened up, and she said, "What is this place?" And he kind of told her, and she asked him a couple more questions, and she died and left Bridges $190,000. So we have that funds right now. We've used some of that this year to enhance staff. The members really want to buy a van. I think we do enough to do that. The other place we've gotten money is most of the capital improvements. Janine's done a very good job of negotiating with the landlord to reduce the rent if we'll put money in to fix things. And then we've gotten 2 cost grants.
To put
all this in. So.
Okay. Other questions. So, do you think you would have the traffic if just not just Saturday, but later than 2:30, like 8:30?
It's a good question. Most of our consumers, they travel by public transportation. And so really the cutoff is 6:30, because you can't get home if you're out past 6:30. And although they probably live within walking distance, most people are uptown, you know, around this area, or uptown, you know, by 22nd Avenue, around there. And so they really need the bus to be able to get home. And so, you know, late afternoon, I don't think we have the capacity to provide dinner. And there would be an expectation of that if suddenly they were here past 4:35 o'clock. So, you know, I think we were open for a little while, a number of years ago. We did an evening session. We had an evening group that was very specific for folks with schizophrenia. And that was well attended. And that was actually started by an outreach worker at KIDS and somebody from NAMI. And they just asked if they could use our facility. And members actually ended up coming to that group. But people who worked during the day. And still had issues, and they worked at the KAC, or they did, you know, some supported employment in other places, and they did come to that evening meeting.
But Saturdays, I think.
Yeah, Saturdays.
It sounds like a lot of people would be interested in Saturdays.
Yeah. So, have you guys ever surveyed, I guess, to find out who has been previously incarcerated, so that we can reference, I guess, to see is that affecting, are you positively affecting recidivism? Because if you are, you know, that's a positive thing.
Absolutely.
I work for the DOC, and seeing guys come back in over and over and over again is not a
problem.
Right. Is that something that can be done?
We don't keep specific data on criminal history. I'm not even sure on our intake we ask if they're on paper. It's certainly something we could look at. To do maybe a time limited study to figure out if we are affecting that as well.
kind of the key is we've tried to be open regardless of criminal history.
Sure, sure.
For people with severe imprisonment, the key is the severe imprisonment.
Right, it's a tough question to ask because you don't want to scare somebody from coming in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, is a positive, are you guys making a positive impact, which ends up being a positive impact on crime rate, you know, which ends up being a positive impact on budgets.
Sure.
You know, it's all a chain reaction, like a switch watch, I guess.
I think it's a good question, it's just not something we've paid attention to.
One of the things that I think we have it anecdotally that people say, if it wasn't for Bridges, I would be in the hospital, and that's a very high cost, but too, that we're, when we have to send people to the state.
Absolutely.
I'll make this the last one. When you guys serve lunches, you guys make food?
Yes, sir. Make food. We're inspected by the city. Everything is,
So if somebody brought you a basket of vegetables, you absolutely love it.
Yes, we do. In fact, we get donations from Shalom Center. If they're not using what they need, they give us. We just got Panera Bread last week. We're on their list now to get bread.
Make sure you guys get my card before I leave.
Okay. We love vegetables.
Absolutely. Peddling is hard.
I'm not making any money on it.
Any of the money got anything else for?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was privileged enough to be here. I think it was 2 summers ago that you speak to the LGBT group.
Yes.
So it's good to be back. I'm wondering about the question you asked just a moment ago. Maybe somehow with the crisis intervention training that we do and the connection here, that's maybe a way of perhaps getting to what you're asking in terms of data.
Yeah, how many staff do you have?
We currently have four part-time folks who come in. Three of them are on disability, and so they're very limited on the numbers of hours they can work. And I've just hired one more who hasn't started yet.
Can you take volunteers?
Yes, absolutely. We have volunteers all the time. In fact, we encourage people to volunteer. One of the line items in our budget, when you volunteer a certain amount of time, you get a $10 gift card at the end of the month. And so we get a number of people who will come and volunteer, and they keep the place clean. It's the consumers who do all the work. Our staff are really here to assist and to make sure things get done properly. But in the end, consumers make lunch, consumers clean the place, they watch the door. If things are going south back in the back, they'll call us, say, hey, you gotta get back there. And so we do. What we're working on right now, I come to a membership meeting every Tuesday, and what I talk about every Tuesday I'm here is how to stand up for yourself. And if you're not ready yet, then how do you help the person next to you stand up for them? And so we're constantly talking about how to do that. How do you say, no, I'm not going to lend you money. No, I'm not going to. Because people with severe persistent mental illness are often taken advantage of. And so that's part of our training here, and we're really helping people figure out how to say no. It's sometimes really hard. But I've anecdotally heard that is starting to get through. People are starting, women who wouldn't say a word if somebody had done something inappropriate are now speaking up very clearly. And I think I applaud that, because you have to be able to stand up for yourself in this world. And so I think that's really working, and I'm very proud of that.
Any other questions?
I have just quickly. If you had a wish list from the county, what would it be? Go ahead, shoot.
Unfortunately.
Remember, we got a big partner.
Yeah, you got your eyes wide.
Certainly ongoing funding for more hours.
More hours.
Do Saturday, and I really would like to try at least an evening or two.
Yeah.
That would probably be the biggest thing right now. You know, we've been very successful. If you'd come 2 years ago, I'd have said, we got to clean this place up. But we've done that. So being able to expand hours, I think, would be nice. And, you know, if we didn't have the endowment that we're going to use some, like I'd say, we need a van, but we've got a way to do that. I think at some point, one thing that's always going to be necessary here, and we've pretty much never put it in the budget, is Janine's time. That's kind of been out of this budget. We just
kind of done it?
Because we originally, Bridges, it's still its own 501c3. It was going to have an executive director and go back out on its own 10 years into it. I don't think so. At least not anytime soon. But it takes someone who's pretty skilled like Janine to manage to make sure that things continue to flow. Those Tuesday meetings are essential. But we're, you know, we're, like I say, money to expand hours.
We do still have a board of directors that I report to.
That's a pretty good board.
Yes, it is. It's a very good board.
That won't be
a very good.
Yeah, our board chair here is Mary Jane Laundry for Bridges.
If you have, there's been a couple of police officers that mm-hmm. are on the board.
Yes.
For something or
for the vigil.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Officer Luke and Officer Marty. We love having them come in. It the first couple of times they came in uniform was hard for folks. and now they're just a part of us. And so when they walk in, and usually, you know, Luke in particular carries a thing of pastries when he comes in now. and so they just love to see Officer Luke come in. And when we have issues on first shift, we'll ask for Officer Luke and or a CIC, you know, certainly a CIT trained officer. But if Officer Luke's on duty, he'll come. And he has diffused things that somebody would have landed in jail or somebody would have been chaptered or something would have happened if Officer Luke hadn't come. So you know, we've developed a really good relationship.
Okay, such other business is authorized by law. Committee member comments?
I just wanted to introduce our two youth and governance new members, Hannah Swenson and Tyler McCarthy. This is their first meeting. Tyler's been on the committee before, or in youth and governance, so we look forward to having you guys here.
You were what, 2 weeks last year or something? What? Last, you were only on the youth and governance for the last couple of months?
Yeah.
Say, don't be afraid to speak, ask questions. We don't know all the answers. We're on the play. So, and you're part of this committee, you got the vote. Unfortunately, it doesn't count. Or anyway.
Committee member comments. I wanted to remind you that you were thinking about bringing somebody into our next meeting. Deputy DA Gravely.
Oh, yeah, I got to talk to John Jansen about it.
Oh, okay.
I had at a Democratic meeting the other night, Mike Gravely, district attorney, did a heroin presentation in Kenosha County. And it was just fabulous. I mean, you can't believe actually how bad the problem is. I mean, you know, everybody knows there's a bad problem, but when you see the numbers and he talks to you, it jumps right out. So I talked to him and I'll talk to John about about a 30-minute presentation.
He will be giving that presentation to the Republican Party at their next meeting.
And I talked to him today, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think, and it was just fascinating. It's just, the opiate problem in Kenosha County is just unbelievable. And it's not just a city problem, it's a county problem. And we're not a methane county, we're an heroin. So like I say, Mike will come in and present it. Hopefully we can get him at the next meeting.
That'd be great.
What's that? Can I give you something? Well,
sure, you can give me anything.
All right.
I'll just pass these around. Copy of information, please. It's an old technology directory of information. We've put it together for about 24 years. Happenings Magazine prints it, distributes 32,000 copies in the county of social service resources. And it has a keyword index in the back. What I've observed is most social workers and professionals have it and they use it as a phone book because it's alphabetical. The services aren't in the phone books, obsolete. So we print that every year with the keyword index in the back and distribute it. So.
I would request everybody take a walk around here. It's a nice building. They've done tremendous work, like I say, since Rick and I were here the first time. When I was here, my very first one. I mean, this was carpeted.
Yes, it was.
It was one.
It matted into a solid surface, but it wasn't one time carpeted.
Yeah, it was called carpeting, but yeah, like I say, they've done a masterful job.
I think places like this and what they're doing with the crisis intervention training and the crisis intervention partnership training, and I think Kenosha County is really, really doing a great job dealing with the problems that we have, and I hope we keep up the good work.
Well, I'd say this gives these people someplace to be, someplace to vote. They're peers, you know. We hang out at different places, but yeah, like I say, the 3 times I've been here, I've never seen any problem. You see them talking to each other and hanging out and whatever. So, do I have a motion to adjourn?
We'll do adjourn.
Anybody against it? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are you back to guiding the tour?
Anybody wants to go that way, you can take a look.